بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 31st session, reading from التوضيح والبيان لشجرة الإيمان by Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di رحمه الله. And tonight, inshallah, we continue with some of those things that the author, rahimahullah, has mentioned from the third section of the book. The Fruits of Iman. طيب. Last week we mentioned, well, we're going to talk about that now. We review the study guide. Okay, so tonight, inshallah, we're going to mention, we had intended to mention the next two fruits of Iman that the author has mentioned. But because the first one of them is, the topic is somewhat lengthy, rather than to race through it, I thought it probably would be better that we just take one of them. The study guide that we gave, you have to be careful because I had originally printed it out with questions for both of them, and then later on during the day I realized that I probably wouldn't be able to cover both of them, so I changed it. So on one side it says 31 and the other side says modified study guide 31. That's the one for tonight. It's only going to cover one of those fruits that we initially intended to cover. In any case, before we go into the topic for tonight, we want to look at some of the topics that we discussed last week in question and study guide number 30. The first question being, discuss briefly the author's description of al-falah, which shows the importance of this great fruit of Iman. And how has the author described al-falah, yani the achievement of al-falah as a fruit of Iman? He said that it is, naam. Okay, it is the main, yani, غايت الغايات, the greatest, the highest objective. And that is because it is the achievement of, yani, everything that is required or requested or desired, and being saved from everything that the people fear. Yani, it is the achievement of everything that the believer desires. And it is also being saved, being safe from everything that is feared or disliked. The second question, discuss briefly the author's description of al-huda, which shows the importance of this great fruit of Iman. And in the introduction to this topic, he said, yani al-falah, it is ghayat al-ghayat, and he explained why. And then he said, wal-huda huwa the greatest means, ashraf al-wasail, or akmal al-wasail, al-ajallu al-wasail. And it is the greatest, the best, the most noble of the means to achieve success and everything that is good. The third question, summarize the six descriptions of those who will receive these two fruits of Iman as outlined in Surah Al-Baqarah, the second Surah of the Quran, third and fourth ayat. And after Allah mentions that this is the book in which there is no doubt and that it is a guidance for the muttaqeen, then he described them with six descriptions that the author mentions, not in the order that they are in the ayats, but he mentions five of them, and they are, number one, first and foremost, Iman. Al-Iman, specifically though he mentioned, Al-Iman, Bil-Ghayb, yani the unseen things. Then he mentions after that, Iqamat al-Salat, yani the establishment of prayers, and also along with that, that they spend from that which yani Allah has provided, yani the zakat. And then he also mentions about the revelations. He mentions that they believe in what has been revealed to you, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what was revealed to before you, yani to the prophets before you, alayhi salam. And he also mentions, finally, certainty that they have yaqeen in the akhirah, yaqeen in the akhirah. And these characteristics, if you examine them carefully, then basically they are all iman and the branches of iman. Yani iman and the actions of iman. Yani the actions of the heart and the actions of the limb. The greatest of them being as salat and zakat. From the actions of the limbs. Now, after this, complete the author's statement. There is no way to achieve al-huda and al-falah except by having what? Yani the author, he said, فَلَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى الْهُدَى وَالْفَلَاحِ. Except by having what? Except by having, naam? Al-Iman At-Tam. Complete and perfect Iman. In? And have an Iman, complete Iman, every book that Allah has revealed, and also? And every messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. Now, and that's the core of yani the meaning of what he said, yani that al-huda and falah, yani this is the greatest goal, objective, and the greatest means to achieve it, but it cannot, no one will be able to have this, yani no one will get the huda and the falah, except by having complete and perfect iman in every book that Allah has revealed, in every messenger that he has sent, yani complete and perfect iman. Now, and then he closed this topic by saying, yani the question number five, the author's conclusion is that the most noble means to achieve good is blank, and the most perfect objective that is sought is what? The most noble means is al-huda. That is the greatest means to achieve. And the greatest objective or goal is al-falah. The second part of the lesson last week, we dealt with the next fruit. And the author mentions three things. Question number six lists three matters mentioned by the author from which the mu'min benefits due to his iman. And this was the next fruit. Three things that, or three matters that the mu'min, the believer, benefits from due to iman. Naam, that they benefit from the ayat, the reminder, and the reminder, and the admonishment. The maw'idah, and the tazkir, and the ayat of Allah. They benefit from them, and other people don't benefit from them because they don't have yani that which is necessary, that is iman. Question number seven, memorize the ayat in Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51st Surah, 55th ayat, which explains the benefit derived from a tadhkir, or the question should have been worded, which explains that there is a benefit from a tadhkir. The ayat, which makes it clear to us that there is a benefit from the reminder. Which ayat is this? Yani in Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51st Surah, 55th ayat, where Allah commands us, naam? Dhikra. Mu'mineen. Wadhakir fa inna al-dhikra tanfa al-mu'mineen. So Allah in this ayat commands us to remind. To remind. This is a command. And then he explains to us why. Because in the dhikra, yani there's a benefit for those who have iman. For those who have iman. And then he mentioned another ayat after that. Question number 8. What is the main point derived from the ayat? And from Surah Al-Hijr, 15th Surah, 77th ayat. That there is certainly a sign, an ayat in that for the believers. Inna fi dhalika la ayatan lil mu'mineen. What is the main point yani derived from this ayat? Yani the clear, yani the clearest thing that we can understand from this. That indeed in that is an ayat. It is a sign for the mu'mineen. What is the main point here? That the people of iman, that yani the benefit that one will get from the sign is only for the people of iman. That the people, the disbelievers, the people of kufr, will not benefit from these signs. And this is as Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned in his tafsir of this ayat: "Innama tantafi'u biha al-qulub al-mu'mina." That indeed, certainly, the only ones that will benefit from this are al-qulub al-mu'mina, the believing hearts, yani the hearts that have iman. Only those hearts will be affected. The hearts that have iman are the only ones that will be affected by the ayat of Allah. The main thing, question number 9, the main thing which prevents confirmation, yani tasdiq, of the truthfulness of the messenger and acceptance, qabool, of the truth that he brought. The main thing that prevents a person from testifying to the truthfulness of the messenger and accepting the truth that he brought, naam.
The heart.
The heart, yani the kufr that is in the hearts. The kufr that's in their hearts. That's, otherwise, the author, rahimahullah, he said, the truth is crystal clear. The truth is crystal clear. How is it that they didn't accept it? It's because of the kufr that's in their hearts that prevent them from accepting. Last question mentioned, 11 of the thamarat, fruits and fawaid, benefits of iman listed by the author. And I think we have covered more than 11, but just to kind of help us to remember some of these benefits. The first of them he mentioned was al-wilaya al-khasa, yani the guard, special guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one he mentioned was Ridwan Allah, wudar karamati, yani the earning the pleasure of Allah. This is one of the great fruits of iman. The third one he mentioned was
safety from the fire.
That complete and perfect iman prevents a person from entering the fire at all. And iman, even if it is a small amount, prevents a person from al-khulud, from remaining in the fire. Even if they entered, they will not remain in it. And the fourth one he mentioned, that Allah protects the people of iman, protects them from harm and from evil and whatever, yani, they would fear. And the fifth one he mentioned, the good life, al-hayat al-tayyiba, yani is for the people of iman. And the sixth one?
Acceptance.
Okay, ikhlas, yani that deeds and actions, every deed and action would only be considered valid and would only it would be beneficial only based upon the ikhlas that is in the hearts of the one who does that deed. Yani the acceptance and the validity and the value of speech and action is based upon what is in the heart of the believer, the iman. Now, and the ikhlas. Ikhlas and iman that's in the heart. Now, what was that, number 5 or 6? 7?
Guidance to and on the straight path.
Al-hidayah, yani, to the straight path and upon the straight path. And the 8th? Tasliyah, yani comfort, consolation for the believer at the time of difficulty, hardship, calamities before them, they will be comforted. They will be consoled by their iman. And 9?
Imamah, love of Allah, praise and dua of the
believers. Now, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place love in the hearts of the believers for the people of iman. The people of iman who do good deeds. Allah will place heart, love in the hearts of the believers for them. And also praise and dua for them, yani on the tongues of the believers. And also al-imamah, fi al-deen, that He will give them the station of imamah in the deen. And after that, the raising of ranks, ar-rifa, that they will be raised up in this world, in the next life. And the, I don't know, 10, what number are we on?
11.
Naam. After ar-rifa,
double portion of mercy.
Naam. A light and forgiveness would be from the fruits of iman that was mentioned along with that one, the muhabba. And after that, we mentioned maybe 3 more.
We're here
now? I think we also had what we mentioned from last week, al-huda wal-falah, and intifa', yani benefiting from the reminders. Now, so these are some of the many fruits that the author, rahimahullah, has collected and discussed them briefly, just as an introduction and a reminder, and to bring to our attention some of the magnificent, tremendous benefits and fruits of iman. And these are things that will only be given to the people of iman. And they will be given to us, yani, in accordance with the strength of our iman. Therefore, this is a reminder to us of the importance of, yani, attending to our iman, nourishing our iman, guarding and protecting our iman. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, as I mentioned, we were supposed to take 2 fruits, but we're going to try to take 1 because of the length of the discussion. From the author himself, rahimahullah, and the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, and also yani some brief mention of tafsir from al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin, rahimahullah. So, tonight, inshallah, I don't know what page we're reading from in English, It should be the maybe 14th fruit.
78.
Page 78? Page 78. And we're reading in Arabic from page 80, from the bottom half of the page. In our Arabic text, it's numbered as fruit number 13. In English, it's numbered as? Anybody?
14.
Okay, 14. The author, rahimahullah, he says, وَمِنْهَا يعني مِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ وَمِنْهَا from amongst the fruits of Iman, أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يَحْمِلُ صَاحِبَهُ عَلَى الشُّكْرِ فِي حَالَةِ السَّرَّاءِ وَالصَّبْرِ فِي حَالَةِ الدَّرَّاءِ وَكَسْبِ الْخَيْرِ فِي كُلِّ أَوْقَاتِهِ. And from the fruits of Iman is that Iman induces, prompts, causes the one who has Iman to be grateful, to be thankful, to be appreciative, a shukra, fi halat as-sarra, yani when they are in ease and comfort and prosperity, in good times. Iman causes the person who has it to be grateful, to be thankful. And this is a reminder to us of the obligation of a shukra, that it is obligatory upon every person who receives a benefit, a blessing, a bounty from Allah to be grateful for it, to show gratitude for it. But only the people of Iman are grateful. This is from the fruits of Iman, that the person who has Iman, that Iman causes them to fulfill that obligation of a shukra, of being grateful when they are in times of, in good times, ease, prosperity. وَالصَّبْرِ فِي حَالَةِ الدَّرَّةِ. And Iman also prompts the person who has Iman to be patient in times of adversity, hardship, difficulties, calamities, to be patient. And only the people of Iman are patient when the calamities befall, in difficult times, hardship and adversity. Because it is Iman that enables that person to be patient. وَكَسْبِ الْخَيْرِ فِي كُلِّ أَوْقَاتِهِ. And also that they would earn it. That Iman enables the person who has it to achieve good all the time. All the time. In every situation or circumstance, day and night, the person who has Iman is constantly going to be achieving al-khayr. Here, the author, rahimahullah, mentions the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Suhaib al-Rumi, radiallahu anhu, reported in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. A very important hadith that mentions these three matters that he has mentioned here. That Iman prompts the person who has Iman to be, yani, grateful at the time of ease and prosperity. And it also causes that person to be patient in the time of adversity and difficulty. And it also enables them to achieve the khair all the time. Whether difficult times or easy times, good times. In all times, in every situation or circumstance, the person who has Iman will achieve the khair. This is as is mentioned in the Sahih, yani fi Sahih an Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, annahu qala ajaban li amri al-mu'mini inna amrahu kullahu khairun. In the narration in Sahih Muslim, the actual wording came here, wa laysa dhalika li ahadin illa al-mu'min, lil-mu'min. As the author mentions it in the book, he mentions it at the end. I mean, the same word is there, but in Sahih Muslim, it came here. This statement. Amazing is the affair of the believer. Indeed, his affair, the whole of it, at all times, in every situation or circumstance, is khair. And he's achieving the khair all the time. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ. And this is not so for anyone لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ except for the believer. So this makes it clear, the Prophet ﷺ is affirming that this condition in this state is only for the believer. Therefore, it's clearly from the fruits of Iman. It's only for the believer. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ amazing, astonishing is the affair of the believer. Indeed, his affair, the whole of it is khair. إِنْ أَصَابَتُهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ Yani if he is afflicted or there befalls him good times, ease, prosperity, shakra, he is thankful, he is grateful. He manifests gratitude, not just on the tongue, real gratitude, which is more than just saying Alhamdulillah. Just like it's more than your child telling you thank you, and then they don't do anything you tell them to do. In asabatu sarra'u. Sarra'u shakara fakana khayran lahu. That if he falls on good times, prosperity and ease and comfort, then he is grateful for that. And therefore, fakana, therefore, it is good for him. Meaning that if a person is not grateful, it's not good for them. But it's because of the gratitude that those good times, that prosperity, those blessings and bounties are good only because of the gratitude. Otherwise, it's not good. Because the person will be punished for this. So the good that comes to a person, if they're not grateful for it, it's not good. But rather, the Prophet ﷺ is saying here, when good comes to him, he's thankful, فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ And therefore, as a result of his gratitude, it's good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتُهُ دَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ And if hardship comes to him, difficulty, calamity, adversity, صبرا, then he's patient. فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ So even that calamity, that affliction that befell him, because he's patient with it, is good for him. And this is something to think about, that a person has tremendous worldly blessings, whatever it might be in this world, but it's not good for them if they're not grateful. And the other person has calamities and afflictions before them, hardship and difficulty and adversity, and that actually is good for them, if they're patient. But this is only for the believer. And then he says, وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ And this is not the case. This is not the situation for anyone except for the believer. The author, he says, after mentioning this hadith, he says, وَالشُّكْرَ وَالصَّبْرَ هُمَا جِمَاعُ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ That gratitude and patience, these two things are what bring together all of the good, all good. فَالْمُؤْمِنُ مُغْتَنِمٌ لِلْخَيْرَاتِ فِي كُلِّ أَوْقَاتِهِ رَابِحٌ فِي كُلِّ حَالَاتِهِ So the believer, the person who has iman, is going to take advantage of every opportunity to achieve good at all times. في كل أوقاته at all times. And even the benefit of supplicating to Allah with the adhkar and the dua of the Prophet ﷺ before falling asleep. So that even in their sleep, the person is going to benefit. All times. Sleep, awake, hard times, good times, the believer is benefiting at all times. They take advantage of every opportunity and they will benefit and they will profit. رَابِحٌ فِي كُلِّ حَالَاتِهِ in every condition, every situation or circumstance. At all times and in every situation or circumstance. Here, after mentioning this, I want to stop here. Before we mention the second hadith that the author mentions and discuss a little bit of the explanation of this hadith from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen in his explanation of Riyad al-Salihin. Here's a lengthy discussion of this hadith and we're not going to be able to discuss the whole of it, but we're going to discuss a little bit of it. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, his explanation of Riyad al-Salihin of this hadith, he says that the author, meaning Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, in what he has يعني conveyed to us from Suhaib al-Rumi رضي الله عنه. He says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, amazing is the fear of the believer, يعني, and indeed his affair, the whole of it is khair. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is expressing amazement, astonishment, in a good way, concerning the affair of the believer. And that is because the whole of his affair is good. And this is not so for anyone except for the believer. Here, the Shaykh, the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Thaymi, rahimahullah, says, then the Prophet ﷺ began to explain what he means by this, the whole of the affair of the believer is good for him. Yani, if good times, prosperity comes to him, he is thankful and therefore it's good for him. And if hard times or difficulty or adversity afflicts him, then he is patient and therefore it is good for him. This is the condition of the mu'min. This is the condition of the mu'min only. Every human being, in reference to the qadr and the qada of Allah, every human being is between two affairs, between two matters, in reference to what Allah has decreed for them, whether they're a believer or not a believer. Everybody is subject to these two conditions in reference to what Allah has decreed in His divine decree. But these two matters, yani adversity and prosperity, yani hardship and ease, these two matters that everybody is subjected to in their life, in this world, the believer and the disbeliever, the condition of the believer in reference to them is different than the condition of the disbeliever. So the believer, in every situation or circumstance, in terms of what Allah has decreed for him, yani he achieves good from it. And that is because when adversity afflicts him, when adversity afflicts him, he says, صَبَرَ عَلَىٰ أَقْدَارِ اللَّهِ. Then he's patient with what Allah has decreed. وَانْتَظِرْ الْفَرَجْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And he waits, he awaits, he expects, he anticipates, he waits for the relief from Allah, from what Allah has decreed for him. وَاحْتَسَبَ الْأَجْرَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And he also, yani, anticipates, expects, hopes for the reward of Allah. This is the condition of the believer, that when adversity, hardship, affliction befalls him, then he's patient with what Allah has decreed, and he waits for relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and expects the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, it's all from Allah. It's the decree of Allah that He has decreed, which you have to be patient with. And the relief from it also comes from Allah. And the reward for it is also with Allah. This is the condition of the believer. For that reason, because he's patient, and he, yani, he patiently awaits the relief from Allah, and hopes and expects for the reward of Allah, for that reason it's good for him. فَنَالَ بِهَذَا أَجْرَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And in this way, he achieved, he earned the reward of those who are patient. Now the Imam, he didn't mention this, but I'm just mentioning this ayat here, just yani, to add to what he said, from Surah Al-Zumar, 39th Surah, 10th ayat, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That indeed, those who are patient, they will be given a full reward, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without any account, meaning unlimited. Their reward is unlimited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for who? الصَّابِرُونَ. And here the Shaykh is saying, what? So in this way, the person achieves the reward of the sabirun, those who are patient. Yani a complete full reward which Allah gives freely, generously, without a count. And He doesn't count it. 10, 50, 70, 700. He gives it freely, fully. That's what Allah does for those who are patient. As far as the other condition, if he is afflicted with prosperity and good times, yani, whether it is ni'ma diniya or ni'ma dunyawiya, yani, whether he gets the blessing from Allah related to the deen, that is knowledge and righteous deeds, that's a ni'ma from Allah, that a person has knowledge and is able to do righteous deeds. Or it's ni'ma dunyawiya, worldly benefits, bounties, like wealth or children or spouse. In any case, when these good things come to him, he is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, شكر الله وذلك بالقيام بطاعة الله عز وجل فيشكر الله فيكون خيرا له. This is an important point that the Imam mentions here, Imam Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. He said, when these blessings come to them, whether it's worldly benefits or benefits in his religion, then he is thankful to Allah. And being thankful, he said, is by al-qiyam bi ta'atillah azza wa jalla. Gratitude is manifested in what? Fulfilling the obligation of being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the one who is thankful to Allah shows their gratitude by obedience. So whatever a person says on their tongue is no point, is no benefit, if they're not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh says, so فَيَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ نِعْمَتَانِ, so he will have two يعني, bounties or blessings, the ni'mah of deen and the ni'mah of dunya. So the ni'mah of dunya, he said, is the sarra, the prosperity, the good that comes to them. And the ni'mah of deen, he says, is ash-shukr. Yani that Allah has favored him to be grateful when that good came to him. This is the condition of the believer, that he is yani in upon khair in every condition or situation or circumstance, no matter yani whether good comes to him or other than that. As far as the kafir, he is upon evil, and we seek refuge in Allah from such. If harm comes to him, he is not patient, and he is yani annoyed. He is discontent, and he calls for destruction. He curses the time. Rather, he may even curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we seek refuge in Allah from such. If good comes to him, the kafir, he is not thankful. Yani when harm comes to him, he's not patient. If good comes to him, he's not thankful for this good. And for this reason, the good that came to him became a punishment, yani upon him in the next life. And that is because the kafir, he doesn't eat anything, he doesn't drink anything, except that there is a sin upon him. And this is not the case for the believer. But the kafir, he has a sin upon him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 32nd Ayat, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. يعني the adornments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided his servants with, and the good that he has provided them with of sustenance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That these things in this world are really for the believers. Yani the person who's entitled to receive these bounties and blessings in this world are the believers, the people who believe in Allah. The disbelievers are not entitled to receive them. But in the hereafter, they will be exclusive for those who believe. In this world, other people may partake in them, but they don't have a right to them because they are not, they haven't believed in Allah, and they are not thankful for what Allah has given them. Therefore, they will be called to account for it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the Shaykh, he says, so these bounties and blessings in the world, they are لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا خَاسَ, especially for the people who believe. وَهِيَ خَالِسَ لَهُمْ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, and they will be exclusively for the people who believe in the next life. Now, and then the Shaykh, he mentions some of the benefits from this hadith, but for the sake of time, another time, inshallah. I just want to mention one thing that he mentions, yani, because it's like a page long, but from the benefits of this hadith, he mentions what's obvious, yani the encouragement to be grateful, and the encouragement to be patient, and so on. And then the Shaykh, he says that, yani the summary of the lengthy discussion that he has here, which is a tremendous benefit, that every blessing that Allah gives to a person requires shukr, gratitude. And every time Allah enables the person to express that gratitude, yani to fulfill the obligation of gratitude, that's also a favor from Allah, which requires gratitude. And every time the believer is grateful, that's a favor from Allah that requires gratitude again. One after another. The Shaykh says, وَلَكِنَّنَا فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ فِي الْغَفْلَةِ عَنْ هَذَا. But in reality, we are yani unattentive, unaware of this reality. That every time Allah gives us a favor and we actually express gratitude, that gratitude yani is a favor from Allah that He enabled us to be grateful, that also requires gratitude. He said, in reality, we are just in ghafla. We are not aware of this reality. And he closes this discussion by saying, نَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ أَيُوقِذْ قُلُوبَنَا وَقُلُوبَكُمْ وَيُصْلِحْ أَعْمَالَنَا وَأَعْمَالَكُمْ إِنَّهُ جَوَادٌ كَرِيمٌ. that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to waken up our hearts and your hearts and to correct and rectify our deeds and your deeds. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. After this, we go back to the text of the book where the author mentions the second hadith. He says, وَفِي الصَّحِيِّ, after the hadith of the amazing affair of the believer, he says, وَفِي الصَّحِيِّ عَنْهُ لَا يُصِيبُ, يعني عن the Prophet, from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لَا يُصِيبُ الْمُؤْمِنَ مِنْ حَمٍ وَلَا غَمٍ وَلَا أَذَى إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بِهَا مِنْ خَطَايَاهُ. That the believer is not afflicted by any yani worry or anxiety or grief or harm in general, or harm that specifically comes from other people to you. The believer is not afflicted with this worry or this grief or harm, except that Allah, كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بِهَا مِنْ خَطَايَاهُ, except that Allah, due to that harm, due to that grief, anxiety, worry that the believer suffers, due to that, Allah expiates from him some of his sins. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And before we go on, this point is a very important point, and the Shaykh is now going to go to yani his closing comments concerning this particular topic. Before that, I just want to mention some other hadith that support further and clarify and bring yani greater benefit to the hadith that is mentioned here. Another hadith, which is from, and all of these hadith are sahih, from Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ يُسِيبَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي جَسَدِهِ يُؤْذِهِ إِلَّا كَفَّرَ بِهِ عَنْهُ مِن سَيِّئَاتِهِ. And some of the narrators said, كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مِن سَيِّئَاتِهِ. That there's nothing, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ, yani this is general, inclusive, there's nothing at all that afflicts the believer in his body, physical harm that comes to the believer, that harms him, except that Allah expiates from him some of his sins due to that harm that befell him. Another hadith. Hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُسِيبَ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا حَزَنٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ حَتَّى الْحَمُّ يَهُمُّهُ إِلَّا يُكَفِّرُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ. That there is nothing that afflicts the believer, yani from hardship or difficulty or worry or sickness, even something that concerns him, yani something that he worries about, except that Allah will expiate some of his sins due to that which he has been subjected to. The next hadith is hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, reported by Imam Muslim. All these hadith of Sahih brings something further. And it takes us, yani these hadith, the author mentions this hadith as a reminder to us of the fact that whatever the believer suffers in this world, that they are patient with, that it will be good for them. And the good is obvious here in these hadith, that from the good that the believer gets from being patient with whatever he's afflicted with, a hardship, a difficulty, or adversity, is what? That some of his sins will be expiated. That some of your sins will be expiated. That's good. This hadith, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, takes it yani a step further. She said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُسِيبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةِ تُصِيبُهُ. Yani that there's nothing that afflicts the believer, even the prick of a thorn, إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهَا حَسَنًا وَحُكَّ عَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيئًا. Yani there's no affliction that afflicts the believer, even to the prick of a thorn, except that Allah will record for him or her, due to that affliction, due to that prick of a thorn, a good deed, and will also remove from that person a sin. So this is another point showing the good that comes from the trials and tribulations that a believer is subjected to in this world. That not only sins will be removed, but good deeds will be recorded. For just what? being having been afflicted with some difficulty or hardship in this world. Next hadith. Another hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha, which is also sahih. In that hadith she said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يُصِيبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ شَوْقَةٌ فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. That nothing will afflict the believer, not even a thorn, or what is greater than that. Yani a lesser or a greater thing. إِلَّا رَفَعُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً وَحَكَّ عَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيَةً. Except that Allah will raise him up a degree, and Allah will remove from him a sin. From these hadith, it becomes clear that the believer, whoever is afflicted with even the prick of a thorn, anxiety, worry, hardship, sickness, pain, whatever it is that the believer suffers in this world, Allah will remove from them, will expiate some of the sins, will record a good deed for that, and will also raise them up. And these are three things. Yani the expiation of sins, and the yani multiplication of good deeds, and the elevation of degrees. Three things that are fruits from the benefits of iman, for the person who has iman. And the last hadith we will mention, and I know time is getting close, last hadith we will mention, and there are a lot of hadith like this that are authentic, yani centered around this theme of the believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compensating the person who has iman for whatever they suffer of difficulty or hardship in this world. Whether it's worry or grief, whatever it might be, pain, sickness, loss of life or loved ones, all of it is compensated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any one or combination of these things, expiation of sins and multiplication of good deeds and elevation of a person's station or status in this world and the next. The last hadith is also a tremendous hadith, and he centered around this theme. It's reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا يَزَالُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْمُؤْمِنَ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَمَالِهِ حَتَّى يَلْقَ اللَّهُ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ خَطِيئًا. That the believing man and the believing woman will continually be afflicted with trials and tribulations, either in their self, or in their children, or in their wealth. There will be constant trials and tribulations for the believing man and the believing woman. حَتَّى يَلْقَ اللَّهُ وَمَا عَلَيْهِ خَطِيَةً. Until, or so that, they will meet Allah, يعني يوم القيامة, without any sins upon them. I think that this hadith is indeed a comfort and a consolation for whoever feels like they're being tested or being tried. Whoever feels like, why am I suffering so much hardship? It may be that if that person is a believer, that it's because of the love of Allah, that Allah intends for them to meet Him with no sins against them. The author, rahimahullah, he closes out this topic by mentioning that the believer, فَيَجْتَمِعُ الْمُؤْمِنِ عِنْدَ النِّعْمِ وَالسَّرَّاءِ نِعْمَتَانِ. That the believer gathers together at the time of them receiving bounties and blessings and favors and ease and prosperity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two blessings. نِعْمَتُ حُصُول ذَلِكَ الْمَحْبُوبِ وَنِعْمَةُ تَوْفِيقِ لِلشُّكْرَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَعْلَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَبِذَلِكَ تَتِمُّ عَلَيْهِ النِّعْمَةِ. Then the believer collects, gathers, yani two blessings from their prosperity, from their good times, from the favors and bounties and blessings of Allah upon them. The first ni'mah is that they have received this mahbub, the thing that they love. Yani the blessing or the bounty or the favor that makes any person happy. That's a ni'mah from Allah, that they have been blessed with yani correct knowledge in their deen, right guidance, good deeds, wealth, property, a good spouse, a righteous spouse, يعني religious, practicing, يعني children who are Muslims, who when they grow up, even though they went away from their parents, they're still worshiping Allah. They're still attending the masjids. They're still doing the things that you tried to raise them upon. All of these are blessings from Allah. But the second blessing, he said, is ni'mat at-tawfiq lishukra. That is, the second blessing is not only these things, but the second blessing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables you, gives you the success to be grateful for those things. And he said, this ni'mah is greater than the first one. And it is by this that the ni'mah of Allah, the favor and bounty of Allah, is completed and perfected. Not that you were given righteous children, or wealth, or property, but rather that after that, yani the ni'mah of Allah is completed by enabling you to be thankful and grateful for it. The second point he says, وَيَسْتَمِعُ لَهُ عِنْدَ الدَّرَّى ثَلَاثُ نِعْمٍ. And subhanAllah, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. I'm looking at this time. Allahu musta'an. I didn't pay attention to the time. The believer also collects or gathers together at the time of hardship and adversity and difficulty and trials and afflictions three ni'am, three favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ni'matu takfir as-sayyi'at. Yani the first of them is the bounty, the blessing, the favor of Allah, the expiation of one's sins that we talked about in detail. That when a person suffers any affliction or hardship or difficulty, adversity, that this is a means of expiation of the sins of the believer. The second, ni'matu husul maratabati as-sabr allati hiya a'la min dhalika. A'la min dhalika. And the second of them is achieving the station or the status of sabr, which is greater than the first one. Yani greater than the expiation of sins is that a person reaches the station or the status of those who are patient. This is the second ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third one is ni'mah to suhul or suhulati ad-darra allati alayhi. Yani the third ni'mah is the ease with which the person is able to face the hardship or the difficulty or the adversity that befalls them. Yani the third ni'mah is what? That Allah makes it easy for the believer to actually deal with that hardship, that affliction or that calamity. لِأَنَّهُ مَتَى عَرَفَ. How is that? He said, because when a person knows مَتَى عَرَفَ حُصُولَ الْأَجْرِ وَالثَّوَابِ وَتَمَرٌ عَلَى الصَّبْرِ حَنَتْ عَلَيْهِ وَطَعَتُ الْمُصِيبَةِ وَخَفَّ عَلَيْهِ حِمْلُهَا. This is because it became easy for that person, because when a person knows that they're going to get the ajr, the thawab, the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they know that that reward is coming, yani when they know that their sins will be expiated, when they know that their deeds will be multiplied, when they know that their station will be raised, then this knowledge of this, yani, eases for the person the pressure, the effect, the difficulty of the musibah, and it lightens for them, yani, the hardship with which a person bears patiently these afflictions. When a person knows the reward, and when they also tamarrun ala sabr, yani when they became accustomed, when they got used to being patient with hardship, yani the believer knows that in this world we're going to be afflicted with hardship, and therefore the person is patient with it. And if a person continually is patient with it, and they get accustomed to it and become used to it, then it becomes any easier. So this is the very ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is that the hardship and the difficulty of bearing, yani of facing, of dealing with the calamities, Allah makes it easy. He reduces it. He lightens it. And He makes it easy for the person to bear. I know we only have a few minutes left, and there's some commentary from any Shaykh Abdul Razak. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. Huh? How much time? I know we only have a few minutes left, but maybe there's a few minutes before, more for the adhan, right? So perhaps, yani, you'll excuse me, take a few more minutes, inshallah. We have 10 minutes, I think. Tayyib, Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, he said, the author, rahimahullah, says in this topic that from the fruits of Iman and the tremendous, magnificent results of Iman is that it causes the person who has it to, yani, be thankful at the time of prosperity and to be patient at the time of adversity. And these two conditions of a person, yani adversity and prosperity, every human being is subject to these two things all the time, one or the other. All the time, every human being is subject to this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being to be tested by these conditions. Sometimes with prosperity and sometimes with adversity. Sometimes with good health and sometimes with sickness. Sometimes with affluence and sometimes with poverty. Sometimes with strength and sometimes with weakness. And in these conditions, every human being is subjected to. And Allah intends it to be a trial. So the human being is subjected to these things as a trial. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 35th Ayah, وَنَبَلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. And indeed, we will test you with shar and khair, with evil and good, as a trial, to see how you will yani respond to it. So both of these are trials. This, prosperity is a trial, and adversity is a trial. So if a person is given plenty of wealth, yani, then they might at the same time be prohibited. I mean, be denied good health, well-being, or children. This is a trial. If a person is given little wealth, and they might also be tested with not having good health, this is also a trial. Even though some of the people think that if a person is given wealth, plenty of wealth, then this is Allah honoring them. But this is not necessarily the case. And if a person is yani, given little wealth, some people think that this is Allah humiliating them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fajr, 89th Surah, 15th and 16th Ayah, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنْ. Yani if a person, if he is tested by his Rabb, yani by giving him some honor and some bounties and blessings, then he says, my Rabb has honored me. But not necessarily so. It might not be honor. This is a test. And therefore, it may be a means of any harm. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانَ. And if a person is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by straightening their livelihood, their provisions, their sustenance, then they say, my Rabb, he has humiliated me. But Allah said after that, كَلَّا. Not so. It is not as the people think, that whoever has been given wealth, that's because Allah has honored them. As I heard one brother tell me that a Muslim told him, that in reality, the Jews are honored because Allah has given them plenty of wealth. A Muslim. Not so. Not so. Not so at all. It is not so that every person who is given wealth, that is because Allah has honored them, nor that every person who is denied wealth, it's because Allah has humiliated them. Rather, this one is being tested with wealth, and this one is being tested with the denial of wealth. This is a test, and this other one is a test, and this is the reality of the affair, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends us to be tested. So the test with prosperity requires a person to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the test with adversity requires a person, yani, that is met with patience. And this meeting prosperity with gratitude and adversity with patience is not for anyone except for the believer. The believer is shakir, thankful at the time of prosperity, was sabir and patient at the time of adversity. And for this reason, he will be, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, successful in both types of tests. And if he's tested with one type of test, he's patient, and if he's given blessings and favors of Allah, he's thankful. So these are two tests that a person can be successful with by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is not so except for the believer. And this is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made clear in the hadith that we mentioned tonight, that is amazing, the affair of the believer. Yani the whole of his affair is good to the end of what he said. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, and he confirmed that this matter is only for the believer. لَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is, يعني, the Shaykh here is saying, this is the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is not so except for the believer. This is not somebody making this up, rather, this is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يعني, saying that this is the fact. Because the believer, yani, when prosperity and good times come to him, he's thankful, and therefore it's good for him. And the opposite, he's patient, and therefore it's good for him. And this, the Shaykh says, وَهَذِهِ مِنَّةِ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ. This is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the believer. Yani, that he is thankful for the good that comes to him, and that he's patient with the hardships, and therefore he has been successful in both tests, the test of adversity and hardship and difficulty, and the test of prosperity and ease and comfort. Yani, he's successful in both of the tests. The last thing that I want to close with is the Shaykh, he says that the scholars differ concerning which of these two are greater in reward. Yani, the one who is shakir, who's thankful for the good, or the one who's sabir, who's patient with the hardships. Which of them has the greater reward? The ghani, the rich person, who's thankful, or the faqir, the poor person, who's sabir? And perhaps a rich person is thinking that because I'm thankful, I'm getting the greater reward. And the poor person may be thinking that because I'm poor and I'm patient, I'm going to get the greater reward. So, one person is tested with affluence and the other person is tested with poverty. And this one who is attested with influence, and is thankful, and therefore they're successful, and the other one is patient, and therefore they are successful. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said, he asked Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, which of them has the greater reward? Ibn Taymiyyah told him, Al-Atqa lillahi a'azam ajran. The one who has more taqwa. Yani, the one is patient, and the other one is grateful. Which one will get a greater reward? The one who has more taqwa. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, said, I asked Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, what if they're equal in taqwa? He said, in that case, hum fil ajr sawa. Then the reward will be equal. Yani, if one is thankful and the other is patient and they're equal in taqwa, then the reward will be equal. And that is because each of them has fulfilled the ubudiyyah that's required of them. Yani, that the one who has affluence, his ubudiyyah is that he has to be thankful. And the one who has poverty, his ubudiyyah is that he has to be patient. So each of them has fulfilled that which is upon them. Yani, they have fulfilled what is required from them. They have fulfilled, yani, that which Allah necessitated from them. And therefore they have achieved success. And they have achieved the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to them, yani, fulfilling the obligation upon them to be grateful or to be thankful in accordance with the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them with. This one being tested with wealth, and this one being tested with poverty. This one being tested with good health, and another one being tested with sickness. So whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given tawfiq, success, to realizing the ubudiyyah that they are tested with, that they are required due to their tests, whether that person is the rich person or the poor person, the one who has good health or sickness, the one who is in difficulty or ease, whoever is given success by Allah, by the permission of Allah, to fulfill the obligation upon them, then this person will have achieved the reward of Allah bi-idhni Allah ta'ala, and they will achieve a great success. And all of this, yani, in every situation or circumstance, it is all from the fruits of Iman. And the Shaykh says, as for the kafir, he's the opposite. He's not thankful, he's not patient, and so his condition is just the opposite. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Probably we have a minute or so, I don't know, if we have a question about what we talked about today. Na'am. Something that's not clear, or a correction of something that was said.
When we say mukmin, are we being general as opposed to a Kafir, or mukmin as opposed to a Muslim and that not of a Muslim?
Yeah, we're being general in meaning the mukmin, meaning the opposite of the Kafir.
Okay.
In some of the narrations of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ concerning these matters, the word mu'min is used, and in some of them Muslim is used. So it's clear from this that the meaning of these two words are the same. Yani they each mean the other when they are used separately, as we mentioned previously in some earlier discussions. That when Islam is mentioned, it includes Iman. And when Iman is mentioned, it includes Islam. Except if they are mentioned together, then each of them has the exclusive meaning. Yani Islam meaning the outward actions, and Iman meaning the actions of the heart. Otherwise, what we mean here, we mean the Muslim. Because every Muslim is also a mu'min. But the effect of that Islam or that Iman in achieving these fruits is in accordance with the level of their Islam or their Iman. The greater the person's Iman, the greater will be the fruit of Iman. So the Muslim whose Iman is very high, is very strong, the fruit that they will receive from that is greater. The blessings that they will receive from that, the expiation of sins, the elevation of station, the multiplication of good deeds, all of that will be greater with the Iman that is greater. And the opposite also true. The weaker the person's Iman, the lesser they will benefit from that Iman. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that the believer is fi kulli khayr. Al-mu'min al-qawi. Wal-mu'min al-da'if. Al-mu'min al-qawi. خَيْرٌ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الضَّعِيفِ وَفِي كُلٍّ خَيْرٌ. الْمُؤْمِنَ الْقَوِي خَيْرٌ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. وَفِي كُلٍّ خَيْرٌ. But in each of them there is خَيْر. So we mean here, yes, the Muslim in general, not a kafir. Now, we'll stop here. The next week, inshallah, we're going to try to take two fruits of Iman.